can give you the best. There are different, like I said last Friday, there's the good, there's the acceptable, there's 30-fold, there's 60-fold, there's 100-fold. So that day I talked about spirit, things and soul and body. It was the service that day. He sat down, his wife invited him. When he had me analyzing, he was shocked because there's lesson number one to entice them is about spiritual realm and about spiritual power. So he listened and he got born again. He took all those books and burnt them. You know, you wonder why we talk a lot in Christianity, but we don't see so much. Why? We don't feed well. We don't feed. No child that is, you know, I raised my children over the years. We endeavor to give them good food. They hardly get sick. We struggle to get balanced diet. Praise God. So it's good to eat well spiritually too. And so I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes so that how to eat well, particularly when you get older. As you're getting older, you should actually be careful what you eat. I don't only mean physically, but spiritually. You can't just stuff yourself with some certain food that you just can't do so much. If you take food like this, there are different things there that's just like roughages. And there's so much more you can take in there. Praise God. So we need to feed on the let's look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Give us in NKJV or any of them, you know. Titus 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for. See that word sand. The word doctrine there means teaching. Sand, biblical balanced teaching. Because it will reflect in your life. If you look at next verse, it says, so if you give them sound teaching, that the older men be sober, reverent, sound. You see, you can't be sound if you are not eating good food. Now, some things I'm going to say now may sound shocking, but it's the truth. As we get older, let's get much more realistic about our faith. Jesus said there are three types of harvest. There's 30-fold, there's 60-fold, there's what? 100-fold. You know, today, a lot of us just pick up daily devotionals. They put one or two verses at the top, give you a passage to read, but you don't read them usually, and you just read the stories, and you think you have had enough for the day. And there's also this practice among Christians that you just do, they get up in the morning, do their daily devotion with their family, they sing one or two songs, they read some pieces in the Bible, and they think, that's enough for the day. And that's not enough for the day. You don't get up in the morning, take a cup of tea plus biscuit, and that's enough for the day. Hallelujah. And so, I want us to look at some adequate food from the Word of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to use the New Living Translation. I want to show you some real nourishment in the Word of God that will help you to grow spiritually. We're going to read from NLT, Ephesians 3. We just read from verse 1. Be with me. I need your attention. I need you to pay attention. When I think of all this, I, Paul, please follow. I'm pleading with you. Please follow. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles. I want you to see something here. Paul was saying that God took me, I'm in prison for the benefit of you. Please listen to this. Paul wouldn't have had time to write what we are reading today if he was not locked up. He was a very active man. And God has so much deposited so much in him, which we're going to see. But he said, now I'm a prisoner for the benefit of you Gentiles. Let's keep reading. Be with me, by the way, that you know God gave me this special responsibility. That's Paul. the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. Now, who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the non-Jews. Now, let me surprise you. This Bible you are holding, the very first part of it were not written for the Gentiles. From Genesis to Malachi, they were for the Jews. That's why it's confusing. Pastor, are you sure? Let me give an example. Let's go to Leviticus 2. Just look at verse 1. Can you give us Leviticus 2? I'm waiting. Leviticus chapter 2. We're coming back here. I know it's difficult to find. Relax. When you present grain as an offering to the Lord, the offering must consist of choice flour. You have to pour olive oil on it. Sprinkle it with frankincense. Look at me. It's Bible, but it doesn't apply to me. So people start looking for some revelation in there. It's just grain offering and put some olive oil there and sprinkle it with frankincense. What's frankincense? Franklin and incense. Let's go next verse. And bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priest will scoop out a handful of the flour, moistened with oil, together with all the frankincense, and burn the portion on the altar. It's a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, I may read my chapter for the day, but it doesn't actually feed me. I hope I'm making some sense. Pastor, you are just discriminating. Let's go to Nahum chapter 2. I'm just giving you space like that. Nahum chapter 2, verse 1. Just going to read. Your enemy is coming to crush you, Nineveh. Mount the rampart. Watch the roads. Prepare your defenses. Call out your forces. Let's go on. Even though the destroyer has destroyed Judah, the Lord will restore his honor. Israel's vine has been stripped of branches. I know people can cut out revelation from me. I'm not against that. But he will restore his splendor. Let's go on. Let's go on. See it flash red in the sunlight. See the scarlet uniforms of the valiant troops. Watch as their glistening chariots move into position with a forest of spears waving above them. Next verse. The chariots race recklessly along the street. They can't do by, you know. Yeah, it's the word of God, but it doesn't feed your spirit in that way. It's a story about the prophets speaking about the judgment that will come upon certain people, Nineveh and co like that. So if I spend time in that, let's go back to Ephesians 3. I'm going somewhere, be with me. Verse 1, we read verse 1, let's go back there. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles. Let's go on. Assuming by the way that you know God gave me this special responsibility. See, Paul was given special responsibility of extending his grace, not his law, not his commandment per se in that statutes. His grace to us who are non-Jews. Let's keep on reading. Now, follow me carefully now. Listen, look at next verse quickly. Can you go to next verse? As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. I want you to pay attention. We're not just doing Bible devotion now. We're paying attention. Said God himself. You see, listen, everybody here. Listen, everybody here. That's why people are joining cults. They are looking for secret power somewhere. They are looking for something that will make them be above everybody else. We have it in Christianity. We have something more than exclusion, more than any other, more than any secret. So Paul was telling us, he said, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. Let me tell you about my salvation. Are we here, everybody? I got born again 6 December 1980. My brother, Reverend David Amoson, he was in the school with me, he was my junior in the AUD Grammar School, Ejigbo. I went to my father's church, Baptist church. We just go to church. We listen to everything, you know. Never made any impact on me. I joined choir. I joined drama. I was still doing my other life. My brother was in the school, and then there was a revival in the CAC near my house. And about 250 youth turned to the Lord, including my brother. Are we listening? Please don't worry about the child. Take care of the child. Maybe looking for the parents. Are we all right? Are we all right? Thank you. So, they will pray, they will do all kinds of things. I was not paying attention to them, I was a sinner. So, they started praying for me. Somebody said, don't pray for him. It's beyond salvation. I was a crazy guy. Really, really crazy guy. Juju everything. I was in it. You know, everything. So, one of them started praying. I've forgotten his name now. And he had a vision that I became a pastor. Everybody laughed. He never paid attention there. My brother couldn't overcome my discussion with him, so he just put books around me. Now, can I tell you something? Last time I was talking with my brother, out of those 250 youth, only 3 remain in the Lord. Why? They're not well fed. They're not well fed. As of last time we talked, my brother is still in the Lord till today. So, the books around me, and I picked up a book by T.L. Osborne. If you know T.L. Osborne. So, on 6 December 1980, I got born again by T.L. Osborne. Now, I'll tell you something so you can know about me a little bit. So, I started looking for what is real Christianity? How to really, I went to HSC. I've been looking in the library for Christian books. What does it mean to be saved? I went to church, some of these churches, I just couldn't fit in because, you know, here you are in the world, you wonder. So when I got to Unilag, I started really coming across certain people that were talking about the Word of God, New Testament and stuff like that. But I was doing more of reading. I had problem to solve in my life, particularly in the area of sin. What do I do? Praise God. Do you know that God started leading me to find materials to read, to study, to grow? And then something happened. I was in my first year in medical school after prelim. I had a sleep at night. In that sleep, I had a revelation in the night. I saw this, like our country. People were praying everywhere, standing up, jumping. And then suddenly, We all slept off. I was on the floor there too. Everybody was sleeping. And I saw people looking like Roman soldiers coming near us. They come near me and said, don't let that boy wake up. I remember the room 610. I can't forget that room. So I struggled to get up and went to the river and began to wash my head. To my surprise, I saw the devil standing. Look, the dirtiest creature I've ever seen. Wearing the dirtiest rag I've ever seen. And he got up, and I was telling Christians who were sleeping, wake up! The devil is here, wake up! And they woke up. To my surprise, they were using the same kind of weapon that the devil is having to fight him. It was not working. So I stood up, I started taking the word of God and speaking to that thing. That devil moved away a little bit. This was first year in medical school. And then, after I finished, I came down like that, and I met someone there, one of my schoolmates, senior. And I just knew we would stay in the same town. We are in the same town today. Then God warned me ahead that things are coming to this country that people are going to sleep off. We could never imagine. Prophet Uncle, you notice. I mean, you know, when we're on campus, you know the kind of Christianity we have. I mean, we will never imagine things like this will happen today. That all kinds of magicians, charlatans will do anything in the church. I mean, as students, what we learn in the campus, in the Word of God. Praise God. Because, see, as students, we were made to read. We were made to go after this thing ourselves. We are not waiting for someone to tell us this. So that's why I'm trying to offer us that as we get older, we need better food. Let's go back. As I briefly wrote what's happening to my son, it just changed suddenly. Can you hear me in the hall? The sound just changed here. All right. Can you hear it too? Are you hearing in the hall? As if it's only coming from here.
to go ahead, but it's really tormenting me here, but we manage. I think it's around here. Okay. As I briefly wrote earlier, thank you, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. Look at this verse. Now, this is it. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ.
As you read, no church can make it very clear for you like reading. And not just devotional reading in the morning, 1, 2, 3 verses and close it. Just like you are in school, you pay attention. There's some insight. There's a plan of God for our lives. There was a plan for the Jew. I'm talking about, I know some, I'm sounding really weird this morning, but that's the food. Let me make it down like that. There's 30-fold food. There's 60-fold food. There's 100-fold food. Let me give an example. If you just feed on what I just read, Leviticus and Malachi, you're still a Christian, but you're living on 30-fold. You can't have so much strength. Particularly, listen to this. If you don't read about what Jesus did, about his power through the cross, you will not be a very strong Christian. You will always depend on Elijah or Moses somewhere, somebody to rescue you. Let's look at next verse. God, now this is amazing. Paul was writing now. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he's revealed this thing to his holy apostle and prophet. Now can you look up a minute? This is what I'm saying from this verse. You know what? There are certain things at the end of your Bible that they are so critical, you won't find at the beginning of your Bible. I used to say this, the most important document in the world is the New Testament. The most important document in the world. And you will be so sad when you get to heaven. But God will say, you never explore the most important. Other documents won't cover this life and life to come. But New Testament will cover this life and the life to come. In fact, your preparation for the spiritual realm and for heaven is the New Testament. He said, this is not revealed to previous generations, but now by his Spirit is revealed to his holy apostle and prophet. So you have to do more feeding from around Matthew down, particularly from Romans. To feed your spirit, to be stronger on the inside. You know, church usually is you go to church and you join a group and serve. But it's more than that. Judges 14:14. We'll come back here. Mark it. Judges 14:14. Judges 14:14. Thank you. Waiting. Samson was given a riddle. After he killed the lion, took honey out of it, and then he went to his in-law's house and gave this. Can you look up? He said, out of the one who eats, came something to eat. Out of the strong came what? So if you are weak, you will have bitter story. You should not be having bitter stories in your life. Bitter stories, not just the devil chasing us around. The bitter story is because we are not eating solid food that makes us strong. And what is this solid food? That's what Paul was describing. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I know I've lost a lot of people here, but I'm okay. Let's start from somewhere. You know, parents will make you eat food that's good for you. Let's go back to Ephesians 3. Let's go back there. Verse 5. That's where we stop. He said, God not revealed it to previous generations. So you won't find it. You won't find a lot of stuff here. You find it toward the end. You feed on it. Let's go on. Next verse. Verse 6. And this is God's plan. Can you look up, everybody? This is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Now listen, how many of you are a child of God here? That means there are some riches you have inherited in Christ Jesus. That some riches you have inherited in where? In Christ Jesus, because you are God's children. And that, Those riches, you need to know about them. Many of us, you like dollars. If I say, here is Naira, here is pound sterling, here is dollars. I know you pick the higher denominations. Am I right? The bigger ones. The forex. You are not poor. You are not deserted. You are not abandoned. A child of God should not be begging for mercy. Child, it's not a slave. You know, in recent time, we have magnified mercy. Oh, I don't know, Riba, Abba, I don't for me. You know, that's for slaves. How many of you are children? We come and say, Daddy, yes, I don't know, familiar with you. Am I familiar? Your children will claim what even you don't claim yourself. Am I right? There are riches. Lived to us as God's children. Now look at this one. Both Jews and Gentiles are part of the same body. Part of the same body. I hope I will do this. God will help me. And they both enjoy what? The promise of what? Because the what? How many of you belong to Christ Jesus over here today? Praise God. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? I want you to look at these verses. So some word we can start emphasizing there, like the word riches, like the word inheritance. You don't pay for that. It's given freely because you belong in the family. It's what body. That's the word promise of blessings. Because of the good news that we heard about Jesus, we've come to certain riches. We're not poor, bankrupt, left to ourselves and be running through life as if we are nobody and we are nothing. Next verse. Where am I going? By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege, Paul was sharing, of serving him by spreading this good news. Next verse. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, can you look up? He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures. Endless treasures. Endless treasures. Will we spend the rest of our lives as we get older now to explore the other side? Every ism is failing human race now. But we have some endless treasure available to them in Christ, like authority, like power, like strength, like victory. Like they are endless treasures. Let's go on. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mystery. So if you don't read those letters by Paul, you cannot arrive there. He was chosen to explain. No, you see, Peter was not chosen to do this. Isaiah was not chosen to do this. Have you ever wondered why he wrote half of the New Testament? Because they were Christian stuff. Other part of the Bible, they were godly stuff. They were godly stuff. They were godly stuff. But Christian, when Paul wrote, he wrote for Christians. Have you ever noticed when I was in Baptist church, we never go to those letters of Paul. We never did. We read Goliath, we read some Gospels, and then once in a while, we go to Ife. We never know what love is. And when the pastor comes to preach on Mother's Day, he will say, the love of God is like the love of the mother. And that's not true. Mother's love is selfish and fierce. Sometimes my wife wants to make me the enemy because of the children. Let me know that when you are younger, I stand up. I'm going to beat you. Daddy, am I now? And I need you now. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. For instance, let me give an example. How do we change our character? How do we change our character? See, many of us don't understand character in the sense of New Testament. Character to use that is bad or is good. But in the letters of Paul, he said, characters are clothes you put on. So your characters are not you. Wow, we'll see that later. He said, you can put off bad character and you can put on good character. He said, you can put on compassion. You can put on love. You can put on kindness. In my younger days, I thought that's the way I was born. That's my personality. I read all those things about different personality. But when I came to the letters of Paul, he said, no, you're a new man. Your old man is gone. You can prepare this. You can take this. You can stop talking too much. You can. It's a cloth you wear. You can remove that clothes. Praise God, somebody. So you are not banished to who you are in the flesh. This is kept from the beginning. See, today, all this psychology and cool, they're not helping matters. Today, pastors are studying psychology. They are living Christian psychology because they never really read the God divine psychology that God gave Apostle Paul. Let's keep reading. Yeah. Can you look up? I love this verse. One of my finest verses in the Bible. God's purpose in all this was to use who? Not the ministry, but the church, you and I, to display his wisdom in what? In his rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Baba, you will come. Baba, you will come. You know God's plan? My sister, come. My sister, please come. You know God? Yeah, you. Please come. Sorry for bringing you out. We are church members, right? We're church members, right? Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Baba, you. Now, see, God's plan is not that we pastors, we build the church, we build the house, we build the hospital, we build the school, we build all. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that we believers, both men and women, will get up and display the wisdom of God. And we pastors, we just be a coach. If you go to the football field, if you see the coach on the football field, what do you see? Something's wrong. You know why all the attack you see today on the pastors and ministers? Because they are not supposed to be playing the game. They are supposed to equip these regulars to display the wisdom of God in all his varieties. Not only even to people, but even to principalities and powers. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Thank you, my sister. You can go to your seat. Let's read this verse in Amplified Bible Classic. Can you give me Amplified Bible Classic on this verse? I want you to see what God has. He said, the purpose, can you look up? I love this verse. The purpose is that through the church, you and I, you, through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite varieties and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. There's so much foolishness today in the body of Christ. So much foolishness. That's not what God's plan is. We should know how to run our home, run our life, run our business, that the whole world will come and watch us do it, like they came and watched Solomon. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? We should not be training our pastors to go to Harvard to go and learn management. We should not be doing that. God runs the universe with such a highly skilled management that if we really listen to him, we become better off than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? God wants us, I know what I'm saying sounds way out. God wants you to take your business and display the wisdom of God there. God wants to be a teacher, display God's wisdom there. That's when they look at you, they will say, like they said about Joseph, Elomua, praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. If you are looking for the best doctor, let's call a Christian. We're looking for the best engineer, let's call a Christian. We're looking for the best human relations, let's look for a Christian. We're looking for the best nurse, let's look for a Christian. Today, they are the worst set of people. Today, you say, don't give your clothes to Christians. Give it to Suraju. Why is it that a Christian will man a department? Why is it that a Christian will sit down with stone and people will be praying that he will go? It should not be. Of course, those who are enemies of the truth and progress will stop us. Just look at Nigeria. We have so many big churches everywhere, and nobody, you can't pick. Those who have done well and missed us, they've come with it before they became Christian. If you look at the billionaires today in the church, they came with it. A lot of them didn't rise up in church. I hope I'm getting across. Let's go back. Go back to NLT. I'm going to start and start. Let me start rounding up. We're going to continue this. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen. God is just more than we should come to church, pastor displays wisdom, and then you will come to the people, do your usher work, do your singing. No, it's more than that. We are the light of the world. Am I right? We are a city set where? On a hill. And let your light so shine, they may see your good works. But you cannot have good works that are really good, great works without deep thinking along this line. Next verse, quickly. Let's go. Let's start running up. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. God has planned that before Jesus will come, we will run this world. We will handle that. We will handle this. We will handle that business. He gave them 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Am I right? Am I right? And he said, when we get to old age, when we get to middle age or whatever it is, we display God's wisdom there. Praise God, somebody. Next verse. Then we are going to jump. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently. Let's start with this first. Tell somebody beside you, get confident before God. Please tell that person, get bold before God. See, today, the average Christian is afraid of God. The average Christian doesn't talk well with God. The average Christian just wonders, Carlo Church, sir. Hello, hello. That's not God's plan. God wants you to be bold. Now wait, if you are bold and confident before God, you'll be bold and confident anywhere else. Okay, who is a Christian? Let's close with that one. Chapter 2, Galatians, verse 20. Give us in this same NLT. Let's start with that. Who is a Christian? My whole self has been crucified with who? It's no longer I. Who what? But Christ, who what? Okay, so who is a Christian? A Christian is a person that is no longer himself living. Wow. So a Christian is not a Nigerian. It's not an American. It's not a British. A Christian is Christian who lives in Christ. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but who lives in me? Who lives in me? Who lives in me? Now let's make it practical. So I live in this earthly body by what? By trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now can you look up over here? Who is a Christian? A real Christian indeed, not a church goer. You know, it's very easy to come to church. Just take your car, park it in the compound. But to be a Christian is more than that. To be a Christian is to see, number one, you have been crucified. There's a cross, hallelujah, where Jesus died. Now, can you look up everybody? Can you look up everybody? Let me drop this bombshell. If you don't see anything in your life before Christ came, if you think your life is just from your birth till now and continue, and there's no marked difference when Christ came in, you're not a Christian. Let me say that again one more time. You can go to church. A Christian is somebody who knows that something has happened to him. He has come to embrace Christ. Not that he becomes a church member. He's come to embrace Christ. So Christ becomes his life. It's not his psychology anymore that dominates his life. It's not his temper anymore that dominates his life. He still has his temper, still has his psychology, still has his personality, but it's no longer number one. That has been crucified. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that. Old song. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that. Sing the rest now. What do you say? He lives. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ. Let's do something. 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'm reading from Paul. So he said this. 13. Let's find the verse. Have I lost you or you are still with me? So who is a Christian? A person who has gotten himself crucified. He's no longer himself. He's no longer running life by himself. It's ideology. Verse 5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Are you listening? Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Are you in this faith? Or you just happily on 2 hours on Sunday? Second, test yourself. Do you not know yourself that... Can I ask you a question? I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit hard this morning. Can I ask yourself, do you see somebody else living inside of you beside yourself? Do you notice that somebody regulating your life beside yourself? When you see a Christian will say, I want to really deal with you, but something is telling me on the inside of me. You see a Christian has a super intelligence within him. It's not money-driven, career-driven. Because all these things will end here. Test yourself. Examine yourself. Is Christ alive? Look at where you make decisions Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Is Christ in you? Or it is a wood that is inside of you? See, Christ is not dominant in you. Or you're better. That's all you're. Unless indeed you are disqualified. So ask yourself, is Christ living here? And you say yes quickly. But is Christ dominating your thoughts? Is Christ influencing your thoughts? When you are in the office, is there an unseen one? If it's not there, let's check ourselves. When you are dealing with customers, is Christ dominating your thoughts? When you look at your husband, is Christ dominating your thoughts? Do you have somebody else beside yourself? A Christian's double inside. Dead one and Christ alive. Ah. A Christian, someone that will go fishing all night long, he catch nothing. But second morning, he will listen to Christ and catch more fish when it's abnormal. So a Christian, this is the finest hour. When things are not working, Christ starts working in his life. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? How to display the wisdom of God. See, when things are really bad, Christian shines. So we are going to feed on this. That's the first part first. Christ, I'm no longer myself. Say that with me. I'm no longer myself. Christ is in me. Louder, I'm no longer myself. I but Christ can take it. I can't do that, but Christ can do all things through me. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. Now, maybe you are retiring now. You are wondering how life will go. Because Christ is in you, you can face it. Hallelujah. Because of Christ in you, Jesus never had problem when he was here. That's wrong. He had problems, but we didn't notice it. Hallelujah. When Prof was talking about pillow and bed, Jesus had pillow in the boat. He so slept that storm didn't wake him up. You only buy a mutiri, faith mutiri to bury. Are you hearing me? Can you imagine? He just slept. And he's in you. He's in you. To live life through you. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm not talking about anointing now that pastors display. I'm talking about Christ that we have received. How many of you received Christ Jesus when you were saved? You received Christ Jesus. So, where did he go? I used to laugh with touch children, sing, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay. Then tomorrow they sing again. Into my heart, come in today. When is he going to stay? Tell yourself, Christ is in me. Louder, Christ is in me. I am not disqualified. Christ is in me. And he will think through my mind. He will speak through my lips. He will walk through my life. Lift and say, Jesus, life is not my own. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Five, let's round up and give our offering. See, I'm quoting from Paul. So you can see the real food to live on. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. We are 13, right? 5, 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Look at verse 14. For the love of Christ. Verse 14. For the love of Christ. Can you look up? For the love of Christ compels us. Wow. See that word compels. Love of God drives us. It becomes our intelligence. Our drive compels us, motivates us, directs us. Because we judge thus that if one died for all, now look up now, then all died. Let me surprise you. You see, we have taken bit, we don't leave it. You know, read this verse. Why did Christ die? Can I ask you a question? Why did he die for all? Why did he die? The story is this. My sister, please stand up. When Jesus died, she died. Uncle, please stand up, sir. When Jesus died, he died. If one died for all, then all. Pastor, I'm not dead. I'm here. See, that's physical. Don't look at physical. It's the mystery. It's higher than Rosicrucian Amok order. When Christ died, he died. Now, why did Christ do that? Look at next verse. That, and he died for all. Read it along with me. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, by themselves, but for... So, why did he die for Uncle? So, Uncle can live for him. Wow. Why did he die for my sister here? So that she can live for Christ. You know, if you are not careful as a person, you live for old age. You live for economy. You live for children. I want to have one more. No, we live for Christ. Why? He died for us. So, there is a new destiny in Christ. That destiny is what? Thank you, man. Thank you, sir. You can sit down. To live for Christ. Can you get up on your feet? We used to sing one song years ago. Let's sing it again now. I have decided to follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah. So I live for Christ now. How many of us are living for Christ now? We don't live for Christ. I don't live for anger. I don't live for money. I don't live for economy. I don't live for old age. I live for Christ. Praise the Lord, somebody. Sit down. Let's give our offering and get out of here. Somebody say, ah, good food. They may not taste like meat pie, but they feed us well. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith, by trusting Him. Praise God. Let's give our offering while we come cut the cake. December 1 is our Thanksgiving. 9 o'clock, don't forget, Sunday. Hallelujah. So, I'll kill you. I will do juju against you. I've already died with Christ. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know who was telling me. Was it Sister Uchi? I said, dead man. Was it Sister Uchi, the one? Told me, said, dead man doesn't sin. Praise the Lord. Our dear Father, we thank you for our offering as we give. We bless your name. Thank you that we belong to Jesus. And we have inheritance, endless treasures, riches untold. Thank you, Father. And we give by your grace. And we will reap by your grace. Thank you, Father. Let's give. Yeah. Let's come and conduct the bad day. If you notice that the cake is very small for the first service, because we're not so many, and number two, it won't take too much sugar too. All right.
Praise God.